chemical weapons.
No. Weapons.
Shot him the same death.
Suspected terrorist.
You're listening to Cinema Recon.
Well, hello, and welcome to Cinema Recon for August 3rd, 2014. And this is the only show that takes its sweet time in between other shows.
We don't like to rush things.
We're very patient.
Make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted.
And the W's are crossed out, too, for some reason.
Yeah, scribbles and the crayons are in their appropriate color spaces.
Depending on who's writing for you. That's right. We are Cinema Recon, and we are in front of microphones.
I have mine.
It's so nice to be in front of a microphone and look at your silly face.
Look at your dumb, fat face.
Yeah, well, I was going to go for dumb, fat, and then I thought I'd be nicer, but you went there.
It's so nice to be back here sitting and staring at your dumb, fat face.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
So, welcome to us. We're back.
Yay.
It's been a while.
Hooray for us.
It's been a while.
We'll let you soak this in.
Pat us on the backs.
Collectively. At the same time.
We're excited to get back in front of the microphones because we had some huge movies come out recently.
They were huge.
They were... drop the H. They were huge.
They were huge.
We'll talk to you today about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Pew, pew, pew. Zoom. Splash. Space noises. Space water. Splash.
And we'll also talk to you about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Splash. Zoom.
Womp womp. Yeah, those are the space noises that come from the monkeys.
Banana then.
Banana Fine. Noises.
Banana. Listen to me peel this banana.
So are there's an orange inside this banana.
Orange, I never thought you'd say that again.
How's that joke going? Orange, you glad I didn't say banana? Yeah, knock knock. Welcome to Knock Knock Recon. So arguably two of the biggest movies of 2014. Of course we'll cover them on this show.
And we will be arguing bubbling about them.
Or arguably bling them. Blah. Blah. I just melt into the chair.
Arguably zot.
just implode.
Just gone.
Into the ether. So, I am Paul.
Yes.
And that is Jake.
Hi, I'm me.
And we are here, very excited. Well, thank you for having me, by the way, in the Santa Ramon Studios.
God, I thought you would never say that.
Thank
all these years, I've been waiting for you to show some sort of gratitude.
I've been building up to this point. Up until show 54, I've been waiting to say thank you.
Until now, I've just had to stare at your dumb fat.
Dumb fat.
Face.
Oh, yeah, face. Yeah. So thanks for having me. Jake, how have you been?
I've been good.
You are a married man.
I'm a married man. I could have swore we've done one show since.
We did. Oh. We have done one show.
Oh, what was all that hubbubaloo 5 minutes ago about this is the first show since?
I lied.
I was blatantly lying.
Now that I realize. I think we did. We saw something.
You come into my house. You thank me for being here. Then you lie to my face. This is why I haven't had you over, Paul.
Yeah, I'm not a good friend. I'm not a good friend. We're learning that. No, but still the obvious fact, you are married.
Yes, that is still the obvious fact.
Still, this is great.
So far, so good.
You must be doing something right.
Yes.
Okay.
I've bought her diamonds every day since we've been married.
Just piles of diamonds. Back the truck up, sweetheart. Well, if that's the secret.
Wow. You too can be a happily married man.
Just buckets of diamonds.
Yeah, things are good.
Congratulations.
Wait, did you ask how I'm doing or did you just say
I would like to know how you're doing. Okay. I did ask how you're doing.
Did you?
Sort of.
Okay.
How are things going?
Yeah, they're good. I'm married.
I'm married.
Diamond.
Yeah.
Things are good. We actually just got back literally like 2 hours ago from, we were camping this weekend. Camping spot.
Hardcore. Intense.
Hardcore?
Hardcore.
That's what you call it when you're married. Yeah. Now it's hardcore camping.
You're intense and outdoors with
camping
a dog.
Camping is intense. we took Tucker. We took Tucker Man and actually my folks came up and my 7-year-old, 6-year-old. Soon to be 7-year-old.
Yeah, 7-year-old?
7-year-old niece came up. Yeah, it was fun.
She drove up.
She drove up. I just drank in the back seat the entire time. Yeah, it was awesome. We just hiked around and some camping, some, you know, firing and some
firing,
some campfires.
Did you bring your guns?
Firing and shotguns in the air the entire time.
That's how we started the fires. Only with shotguns.
Yeah, it was good. We bought Cassie a new car a couple weeks
ago. Congratulations to Cassie. Yeah. Wow. I saw it. Leather seats.
Leather seats. It's so
four wheels.
It has all of them. All four of them.
Four wheels is great.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Other than that,
same old, same old.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
What's up with you?
That's exciting. I am
whatever.
Having...
Oh my god.
I melt again. I did not go camping. I've been in my new job. I am newly employed. That's been fun. So I don't feel so bad about that one show where I was like, I'm looking for a job.
Yeah, because that actually happened. That was for real.
Yeah. I was looking for a job, and I found a job, and I'm very happy. So you are looking at the senior manager of your local Burger King here in San.
Really, that guy out my window is the senior manager.
You're looking at him. Yeah. So things are good. It's been a whirlwind, but things are starting to die down. It's been nice. It's been nice to have some free time to get back in front of the microphones a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, and BitFix Radio has taken up a lot of my time.
Woohoo!
So we've been playing a lot of video games.
Yeah. Watching movies and playing video games. Go check out BitFix Radio. Those shows I listened to were hilarious.
It's a pretty good time.
We got to plan a crossover episode, though.
Every single episode we do, I'm always like, Jake should probably be here right now to comment on this.
Hold on, I'll go get him.
There's so many movies. I'm just drive out there. It's like the Troy McClure thing. You hear the door like close.
Yeah. It's an hour and a half of dead air, and then it's, okay, we're back.
Well, we do this in real time. Yeah. No, there's plenty of video game / movie crossover news.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So definitely we need to get the whole table together.
Next time there's a big update on like the Splinter Cell movie or like the Assassin's Creed movie or something like that, we should definitely do a...
Yeah.
Do some sort of collabo.
A big powwow.
Hey, yo, talk about movies.
We'll do that.
Smoke your peace pipe.
Smoke it a peace pipe.
Smoke it a peace pipe if you got them.
Yeah.
So what's up? That's good.
So that's a good thing. So with that out of the way, do you want to dive into, which movie would you like to start with today?
I think we got to start with the big, GOTG.
Lucy.
We saw that actually.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I wanted to see it.
Yeah.
No, I shouldn't go see it.
It's just whatever.
It's whatever. Is Morgan Freeman good in it?
He's not really in it that much.
No.
Oh, okay. Wait. Is he in it a whole lot?
Jake's asking Cassie right now.
This is riveting radio when we're talking to people off air.
Jake's referring to someone else.
Is Morgan Freeman really in that movie Lucy that much? He doesn't have a whole lot of screen time. Oh, he's the main character.
He's Lucy.
He's the main character. He plays Scarlett Johansson.
That's all Morgan Freeman does. Cassie just said he explains what's happening to her the entire movie. That's pretty much Morgan Freeman's every role. He just explains things to people.
He's like narrating. Like half the movie takes place as he's like a professor or scientist or something. He's like giving a lecture on like brain development and it's basically like overlaid with her storyline. So it's like his narration to the for his lecture is kind of like overlaid with what's going on with her, and then they eventually meet up and then she turns into a computer. Spoiler.
So when does Hercules come in?
wait, Dwayne Johnson does what?
Yeah,
wait, Dwayne Johnson's a professor.
Yeah, okay. So how would you recommend this movie to our audience?
Well, it's a tough one. I don't know.
Go see it. Just don't wear pants.
I'd say random. I'd say this is our first ever short movie review that only
I'm
one
just
of
curious.
Us has seen.
I'm actually really legitimately curious.
I would say rent it. It's got enough cool. Just kind of, it's a fun watch. Don't expect anything too like smart. Okay. But it's just kind of a fun.
Dumb, more dumb
movie.
Science. Better dumb science than Transcendence.
That's a tough one. If Lucy met Johnny Depp, who knows what would happen? Transcendence made no sense. The entire time the guy's just trying to better the world, and they're just like killing him.
Murder him!
Oh, why would he do that?
I don't know. Let's go listen to that show.
Yeah, bye.
See you guys.
Let's make sure people know to go to facebook.com/ Cinema Recon.
Never heard of that website.
Yeah. Be sure to go find us on Cinema Recon and like us. Find us on Facebook and like us. Find us on Twitter and tweet us. Find us on
Cinema Recon and Cinema Reconist us.
Cinema Recon and press enter. And email us
at cinemarecon@gmail.com. I've been checking the emails quite a bit lately, and man, actually send us less mail. It's just it's overwhelming, but more concise mail, I should say. No, but you can visit us also at cinemarecon.com, where the site is always where the website is always going strong. It's never gonna end.
It's never gonna end. No matter how many emails you guys write us, we will keep that up there.
I'm gonna keep the lights on forever. I'm gonna die. It's gonna be in my will. I'm gonna pay GoDaddy.com an extra like 50 years worth
in your will. So there you go. I will them $9,000 to keep this running.
So the important things that Jake and I say on this show will live on forever.
These are historical documents for these times. They really are.
These really are. These sounds.
Let's do this.
Let's do this.
I wish there were young children around here. I would fucking punch them.
Guardians.
I would not punch the little children.
Well, you say that now, but you get a really annoying kid in front of you.
Yeah. Get a really bad movie review going.
Guardians of the Galaxy was released August 1st, 2014, with a rating of PG-13 and a running time of 2 hours and 1 minute. Would you care to guess the Rotten Tomato rating?
Yeah, I will. I would like to guess it because I just looked at it. Would you like to guess?
I'll guess. I'll guess 91. Damn it!
It's 92.
Damn it!
You're wrong. You're done.
I need to learn to read. 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. Very high. Very high.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute.
Let's talk about
it. I think I've been mentioning it over the last like 5 or 6 shows or something like that. And I think the thermometer is getting – I think the rating is getting dumbed down a little bit because there was a couple movies we reviewed a while ago.
Like dumbed down or pushed up?
Both. I don't know.
Like, do you mean ratings are unusually high?
Yes.
Okay.
I think – put it this way. I think the level of –
here we go. He's going to mention Terminator Salvation.
I think the level of acceptance by critics has been – the bar has been lowered, which relates in higher – Rotten. This is just for Rotten Tomatoes.
So when you read the actual review, it gets a positive when it probably should have got a negative.
Well, I just feel like, maybe I'm trying to use too many of my big vocabulary words. I feel
maybe I didn't study enough in school.
Maybe I'm regretting coming here right about now. I just feel like there's the standards are lower now for getting a favorable rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Like I see a movie like Guardians of the Galaxy. It's at 92%. There was something we reviewed, I want to say like 3 or 4 shows ago, and we both agreed it was a good movie, but then we were looking at the tomato meter, which I have termed the thermometer, copyright 2014.
Yes, it's Jake.
And it like has a really high rating. We're both like, we agree it's a good movie, but...
Was it Days of Future Past?
It might have been
91?
Something. Yeah, like, you know, you see movies like that, it's like, and then you look like a movie... give me 2 seconds.
Okay. We'll give him 2 seconds while we wait for him to type on his laptop in another riveting section we like to call Hold On, Guys. Hold on, guys.
We need music. Dun,
dun, dun, like elevator dun, music dun, right dun, here. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, yeah. I should get some.
Okay. Kind of a bad example because this movie's at 100%, but like a movie like The Godfather, right?
Oh, you watch that, overrated.
Yeah. You watch that movie and like literally every other scene, you're like, God, this movie is so good, right?
It's just perfect.
Everything about it is great.
Yeah, it's
right?
Perfect.
So that is 100%. And then a movie like Guardians of the Galaxy, which I think we're both going to say is probably a pretty good movie.
Pretty good movie.
92%. So it's only 8 percentage points less favorable than The Godfather.
Yeah, but I gotta feel like it's hard. Okay. The thing about Rotten Tomatoes is you either get a positive review or a negative review, and then they tally them all up.
Right.
When I give like a review of a movie, like I'll give a movie like a horror movie a positive review, but not a Godfather positive review. But it all still counts towards the same.
You're
percentage.
Saying they should do a horror mashup maybe for the Godfather movie.
Maybe do like that's exactly what I'm saying.
I'm gonna make them an offer I can't refuse.
Maybe a genre.
I think it should be. I think Rotten Tomatoes needs some more defining criteria or something.
Maybe.
Because like Days of Future Past and 91%.
But you know, I think this is where we it's high. I mean, but I think this is where we lose. We kind of like have invented Rotten Tomatoes into something more than it is, more than it claims to be. It's just a percentage of what critics say it's good and what critics say it's bad.
I'm just surprised they haven't changed their rating system after. You know, how much we know they listen to the show.
I mean, haven't they? I mean, they've obviously been listening.
They've obviously received my letters. Haven't they learned I know anything? They've received my letters. Yes. I made them have to sign for them.
Because their lawyers write back all the time.
Please stop sending anthrax.
Yeah. Why are you sending them anthrax, by the way?
Yeah, anyways, okay. Continue.
No, okay.
That's just my little diatribe.
That's a good diatribe. And I think that...
But I've noticed that. Slowly but steadily, it seems like movies get a little bit higher rating than they should.
You're like a detective.
I'm basically like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. You figured this out all by yourself. And you put those pants on. You're a smart guy.
They're on my head.
Yes, just trouser legs, like flappy everywhere. I don't know how you're doing that right now.
I've been noticing
everything's
that.
A little inflated.
It is
okay.
I don't think they should account for inflation.
Yeah, because I would say like, I'm jumping ahead into the review, but like for a movie like this, I would say it's really good if you like that kind of movie. And whereas The Godfather is just really good.
Yeah, I would agree if you like that kind of movie. No, I see what you're saying, but anyways, it's just something I've noticed. Yeah, it's inflated. They're all a little more inflated. Pretty soon, like, every movie's just going to be rated 100%, and then their whole website is just going to be devoid of any, like, usefulness whatsoever.
Ripe tomatoes.
It'll just be tomatoes at that point. And they won't be rotten. They won't be ripe.
Have you seen what it is on Rotten Tomatoes? Yeah, it's 100.
It's 100%.
I know.
I can't believe I still know what you did last summer, two summers ago. Is that 100%? That's crazy.
That's crazy. Well, it only got 100. The other one only got 100%. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, if you compare it to the movie like The Godfather, I mean that's like 100%.
That was like 100%, right? But this gets 100%.
Yeah. 100%. Jennifer Love Hewitt, though. I mean, she brings that rating up.
100%.
100%.
I used to think that someday I was going to meet her.
Why would you think that? You just thought that?
I just thought that.
Why did you think that?
Because I loved her.
I was in love with her.
I was in love with Jennifer Love Hewitt, and I thought someday I'm going to meet her, and she's going to...
The way you said that at first, you said, because I loved her. That was honest, I think.
I did. I loved her.
You loved her.
I was way into it. This is like junior high, right?
What's her middle name?
I don't have time for that. Boobs.
That's a formality. Formalities.
Exactly. Oh. Anyway, friend of the show, though.
Well, guess what? Yeah. We have a guest on the show today.
And here he is, Chris Pratt.
You're not Jennifer. Get out of here. Get out of here, Chris Pratt. Nobody wants to hear from you.
Womp womp.
Good friend of the show, though. Call us, Chris.
Yeah, it'd be really funny if he was really here. We just didn't turn on his microphone.
just treat him like shit.
Just sits through the whole thing. Good movie, by the way.
Just sit here and bash his performance in the movie the entire time.
A tree showed you up the entire time.
Anyway. While he's just trying to untangle all the cables and plug his mic in. And then right when he gets it, we're like, and that's our review of Guardians of the Galaxy.
See you guys later.
Chris Pratt, have you seen Lucy? What do you think?
Mute. I'll edit him out later. He did answer that just now. Okay. So, Rotten Tomatoes, inflated.
Yes.
Jennifer Love Hewitt, beautiful.
Also inflated.
Beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
So we can all agree on this. Rotten Tomatoes, not so great anymore.
Yes.
Jennifer Love Hewitt, super hot, and I'm in love with her.
Agreed. Okay. We can draw a line between the two.
Those are the two baselines we're using for our review.
We've learned so much today.
Okay.
The studio that brought Guardians of the Galaxy to us is Walt Disney Pictures.
Yay!
Which is great for my stock.
Yeah.
And the director, James Gunn, who you may or may not remember.
Probably won't remember from much.
The movie Super, and actually the excellent horror movie Slither.
Slither.
Stars Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Bradley Cooper, Vin Diesel, and Dave Bautista. And the synopsis... which is hilarious. I pulled this off of IMDb.
It says poop, fart,
sick joke. Blah, blah, space things. In the far reaches of space, an American pilot named Peter Quill finds himself the object of a manhunt after stealing an orb coveted by the villainous Ronin.
That's the worst.
It's the worst, right?
That's the worst.
Yeah.
An American?
it says it on IMDb. An American pilot.
What is this, like The Rocketeer?
That's exactly what I pictured.
Yeah. I'm looking outside, and I think a pizza delivery guy just pulled up to somebody's house in a really nice BMW.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say no one's answering the door. Can swoop in on that pizza.
Oh, wrong address. We meant over here.
Hey, over here, guy.
Anyway, sorry, that was just really weird. But that's so. Why does it say in America? Like,
I have no idea.
First of all, this movie takes place across the cosmos. So if anything, it should be like a human Earthling.
Right. Exactly. An Earthling. No, it's an American pilot.
An American from Brentwood, California.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can give a better description of the synopsis after we listen to this trailer.
I come from Earth, a planet of outlaws.
My name is Peter Quill.
There's one other name you might know me by. Star-Lord.
Who?
Well, Star-Lord, man. Legendary outlaw.
Guys?
Forget it. So here we are. A thief, two thugs, an assassin, and a maniac. But we're not gonna stand by as evil wipes out the galaxy. I guess we're stuck together. Partners.
Are you telling me the fate of 12 billion people is in the hands of these criminals?
Oh, yeah.
There you have the excellently good music.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Can't talk. There is Guardians of the Galaxy. One thing I will say about this movie is soundtrack was a good time.
All right, let's start there.
Yes.
So we all knew that the soundtrack was a pretty good pretty heavy piece of marketing that they used for this movie.
Yes.
And I think it kind of tied into the whole kind of quirky nature of the movie. And I think it, for marketing and for the movie, it was a pretty good, pretty good payoff. It worked out rather well.
I thought it was genius. When I'm sitting there and my mom is telling me how great the soundtrack is.
You should say what your mom was saying after you saw the movie when she was asking about like cookies and stuff.
So I came out in the East Bay and I was out here a week ago and to visit my family, and my dad was complaining because my mom never wants to leave the house and so he never gets to go see movies. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take my mom and dad to dinner and to see Guardians of the Galaxy when
finally
it comes
something
out.
They want to do. Yes. I'm going to take them to see Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
Well, he really wanted to go see the movies. The movies.
What is this, 1940?
He really wanted to go see the moving picture films at his local cinema. And so I took them, and my mom loved it. My dad thought it was interesting. And we get home, and my mom was like, just like humming the turn. She's like singing like Hooked on a Feeling on a the whole way home.
I just imagine Connie just like running around the kitchen like,
yeah,
like spinning in circles while she's like,
yeah,
baking and just like throwing like sugar in one pot.
Yeah,
like,
it's all she does.
His mom is a
And that was before we saw cook. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, amazing cook. She's always cooking things.
She loves to cook things. And so we get in there and I'm like, you know, going through the fridge and I was like, hey, you know, can I have one of these ice cream bars? Are these for anybody? And my mom's like, I am Groot.
Why does she sound like Yoda?
That's how she does her Groot impression. And I'm like, oh, mom, that's funny. That's from the movie.
Seriously, though, make me cookies.
Seriously, I am Groot. Because that's all you can say.
That's hilarious.
And then she's like laughing at me and nodding and she goes, like the movie. I'm like, no, I know. I was there with you an hour ago.
Get it?
Yeah. She's a funny girl.
That mom
self.
That mom, that motherly figure of mine.
Con dog, as we call our friend. So it's already past the mom threshold.
It's like the movie.
It's like the movie.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's already past the mom threshold. So she loved it. Awesome. And I think a lot of that had to do with the soundtrack. She wanted to stay to see the credits, not just because of the ending credit scene, which we will talk about, but also to see just what songs were in the movie.
Listen to the music.
She's like, I want to see what songs were in the movie.
I want to see the songs.
I want to see them. I've heard them. Now I want to see them.
I want to see them in scene form.
So I think the first thing this movie did right was the marketing, especially, because it's you're going to pull in the sci-fi nerdy group.
No matter what.
No matter what. But now you want to pull in a whole other generation of people with fun, upbeat 70s songs.
Yeah, right? I mean, I thought it was interesting. It was definitely a good way for them to do like a quirky movie and kind of ground it a little bit for people. Mm-hmm. If it had like just like a regular kind of
like action,
just like a Marvel, yeah, but just an action movie soundtrack, which is like, dun, 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 yeah, dun, dun.
It
just
like a John Williams.
It would have been a really different movie. Like it would have just been kind of awkward.
Well, this movie was like kind of like the bastion. It's basically the dark horse foray for Marvel from the very get-go.
Right.
This was always going to be
from the very get-go.
From the very get-go, this is always going to be the risky one that they're going to do. Now they're introducing these new characters. Everyone knows who, well, not everyone, but I mean, like, at least Iron Man, Captain America are a little more household names.
Right.
Whereas here, like, nobody knows who Groot the Talking Tree is.
Right.
And so it's going to be, Marvel's really resting on their own laurels, trying to get people on board for this experience.
Right.
And so, yeah, making it a, not just like a quirky movie, but having like, you know, the soundtrack be the way it is. I just think the whole thing was marketing genius.
It was pretty good. I mean, I think you could do like literally like a college case study on this movie. Like, how do we roll out a virtually unknown product to people and make them like it and make them want it? But
yeah,
but I mean, almost like you said, I think I'd say any of these movies. I mean, I don't know. It's like 90% of your audience is ingrained in us, right? Like the kind of nerdy following of comics and movies and stuff like that. Like, that's
nerdy's cool now. I mean,
nerd is the new
not nerd.
Nerd is the new jock.
It's super cool now, and it's proven.
It's time, super cool to be super lame these days.
Super lame is super cool, and it's proven time and time again to rake in the big bucks.
Yeah.
So they already had people getting ready to come to the theaters off the bat. I think everyone was into it. They're getting into the soundtrack and the trailers from the get-go. Were they successful? How was the final film?
Final film. It was. All right, we'll go into more detail later. my summation would be, it was very good. I think it was really good.
Okay.
I think it was. I'd say this is funnier than some comedies I've seen. This was hilarious.
There was some LOL moments to be sure.
There was holy shit. When they're talking about their the plan that they're going to do at the very kind of towards the end, like the third act.
And everyone has a...
Yeah. And everybody's got a plan. And then Drax says something and they're like, no, we're talking about the plan. He's like, what plan? They're like, the plan we've literally been talking about. He goes, I was thinking about something else.
I was like...
Like...
My mom turns to me like in the middle of that, and she goes, "Sounds just like your father."
Are you serious?
Like, mom, be quiet. People are trying to watch the movie. Yeah. Remind me never to go to the movies with my parents ever again.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
So it was funny. It was hilarious. The music was a great soundtrack. It really kind of just gave you something different in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not a naysayer, but
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's like something was missing, something was wrong.
Okay,
not wrong, but something was just off. And I want to say that the actual hurt or storyline or mm-hmm. the plot or something was just kind of like so.
Mm-hmm.
I think the characters and their performances mm-hmm. and just kind of the movie magic in general
mm-hmm.
made the movie good. I think this could have been a fantastic. Let's call it a true 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. Should the storyline have been maybe a little more serious, a little heavier note to it? I think it would have been a great dynamic to have like a little bit more serious of a play on the storyline with the humor. Like mm-hmm. I thought that would have been more disparity between the two and would have made it for a really like dynamic movie.
So part of the story though was that we needed to introduce the characters because no one knows who these people are.
Right.
And we needed to get them banded together as a team. And I think that probably should account for some of the story in this movie.
Right.
Was them becoming a cohesive group. And they do this by, Star-Lord, Peter Quill, whatever you want to call him. Chris
Pratt.
Well,
he's an American.
He's an American pilot. He's stealing an orb that is wanted by many, and Rocket Raccoon and Groot the Tree are trying to capture him in the beginning for a bounty. And Zoe Saldana's character, I can't think of her name in the comic off the top of my head.
Gamora.
Gamora is also trying to capture Chris Pratt because he has this orb and she wants it for her own reasons. They all get arrested.
Right.
Basically. And then that's where they meet.
Because they're bad.
They're very bad people. So they all get arrested. They go into a prison. That's where they meet Dave Bautista's character, who's Drax the Destroyer. And a prison breakout is how they all bond together. So I'm on kind of on board in that being the story of them getting to know each other. But yep. I think you're right. I think that. I'm glad you brought it up. The MacGuffin in this movie, the orb with the Infinity Gauntlet stone, it needed to be introduced. It needed to be because we needed to be setting up later for Thanos having his Infinity Gauntlet and all the Infinity Stones. But I just felt like it was just such a this is a bad thing because it's a bad thing.
Now let's
and it's getting knocked around and juggled around between people. And now we have to go here because this guy's got it.
Yeah,
and. The whole time I was like, I wish they had set it up a little bit better in the beginning, because why was this thing that was so powerful?
Why was it just on a planet?
It was just hanging out in a room,
sitting there.
That Peter Quill just like strolled into, like literally danced into,
literally
danced into this like little room that was holding the Infinity Stone and just grabbed
it up. Why was it there?
I don't know why it was there. You get the sense when the henchmen come and find out he's there. One guy says something to the effect of, "How did you know about this place?" Like it was supposed to be some big secret, but
like, why would you bury these things? Why that's like the worst thing to do with valuable things.
Yeah,
you put them in a safe.
Yes,
I don't know
why it was there.
I don't like get my paycheck every week and like go like bury it somewhere out behind a tree. I do that with every other paycheck.
Right. Well,
obviously
you have to diversify.
Well, it's for safekeeping.
Exactly.
That's what diversify your funds.
Yes,
mean. That's what it means.
Exactly.
So I put them under.
Jake has a well diversified portfolio.
I have diversified some.
One's under a
pine tree. One's under a walnut tree.
It's between his mattress. One's in my wallet.
Hey. Yeah. So I'm glad you're there with me because I felt like it was
that
all,
was my first complaint.
It was all very just like, hey, this is kind of happy go lucky, but this thing could end the universe as we know it. It's maybe take it a little more seriously. I don't know.
It didn't feel like there was a little weight behind that.
And I didn't want to say that because I always say that about movies, and that's
because right.
I don't know how to classify it anything else. But yeah, and that side of the story with Ronan the Accuser and everything, like that needed more weight. That needed a little more weight. Yeah. And I don't know what was up with Ronan the Accuser. All of a sudden he was just kind of like, whatever, and then he kind of I didn't like him as a character too much. It was like I didn't get his thing. I didn't get – it's like what was he doing? I don't know. Like what –
he's kind of like, I'm
shit on your face.
I'm super bad now.
Yeah, it was like
I'm a super bad guy. Kind of reminds me of the forgettableness of the Thor 2 bad guy. You saw,
yeah, the
exactly
elf guy.
Can't remember him very much.
Yeah,
because he's forgettable.
The guy who's not Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he just needed to be there. They needed to be there because, like, again, they need to set up that Thanos.
Well, he
is
only
the
needed
real
to be there
bad.
For Thanos, right?
He's the real big bad, and there's pieces in place that need to get into Thanos' hands, one of them being the MacGuffin in this story. So,
beautiful segue. What did you think of Thanos?
So we saw Thanos, and I was going to ask you about
that. For the first time.
For the very first time, we see Thanos face, like, full frontal.
He just is fucking Thanos' dick is hanging there.
He's like, helicopter dick.
Helicopter dick, helicopter. That's hilarious.
Hey, Thanos, take this a little more seriously.
The camera pans over to him, and he's getting out of the shower.
Helicopter dick.
He's getting out of the shower in his towel, and he just goes, flashes his towel open. So, what'd you think of Thanos?
Thanos, he's a big jokester.
He's a big jokester.
Yeah. So it was a little weird,
right?
To be honest, to see Josh Brolin's face saying Josh Brolin things.
And
I don't know. I pictured him being like a much more imposing dude. And he was just like, he was a big dude on a throne. And he was just like, I'm Josh.
I
look like
Thanos.
A purple Josh Brolin.
I'm Josh Thanos.
Yeah. He wasn't really. I wanted to be. When I met Thanos, I wanted to be like cowering in fear. You know?
Yeah, you wanted to be peeing your pants.
I did. I wanted to be. Well, I was, but that's besides. I have problems.
Yes.
And
I really.
I don't know. It was interesting. He looked fine. He looked just like the comic books. You know. I think they did a good job. I just didn't think it was the best reveal for him. I don't think maybe it was the way it was shot. It was just like like I said, full frontal. It was just head on,
sitting in a chair. Just
it could have been a lot more ominous.
Ominous.
You know, just was there. There he was.
Yep.
Hanging out in the middle of an asteroid field.
I'm just sitting here. I agree. I was actually kind of disappointed. I was like
a little bit.
Same thing. I go, man, I was expecting it to be way more intimidating, like way more yeah. ominous, way more like no nonsense, like brute power.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, command you to do anything type stuff. And,
yeah.
And if you listen to the show at all, which you probably don't, you'll know that I don't like CGI that much either. And
he was all CGI.
It was just an all complete CGI, and I was just like, personally, I didn't even think it looked good from a CGI standpoint.
Really?
Like, I was like,
I think it looked fine. I mean, I guess
he looked fine. I guess. What does that mean?
I mean, he looked like the picture of him in the comics. So he's sitting on his throne in his big golden purple suit, and golden blue suit or whatever color it is, and he's just like, I want to know what he does up there. Like, he just
he's on his iPhone most of
the time. He spins around, like, and he's like still like, he's like, hang on a sec, I gotta finish this level on Candy Crush.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay, where were we? I will destroy the universe.
And then Ronan the Accuser's phone goes off, and he looks in and goes, Thanos has invited you to play Candy Crush. Stop sending me these invites, Thanos. I don't want to play Candy Crush.
I want to see Ronan be like, before I leave, do that really good Tommy Lee Jones impression that you do. Yeah, so you're right. I think that it was a little.
We gotta search every hen house, dog house, out house.
Sounds just like him. You should play a young Tommy Lee Jones.
I should play a young Josh Brolin playing a young Tommy Lee Jones playing.
I'm gonna play. No, Tommy Lee Jones should play an old Josh Brolin playing a young Tommy Lee Jones. I think that I think he's lackluster. Lackluster is the word I'm looking for.
I would agree. I would just say it was a letdown. Let's put it that way, right?
Meh.
It was a letdown.
Because
if that's who you're going to see in future Marvel movies, and if
he's supposed to be it. He's the man.
And if he's going to be like, I'm just speculating. If he's going to be like on the ground in New York with the Avengers, like punching them.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to look very funny.
They could have done so much more. And I think this segues into my next complaint. I'm doing a lot of complaining here, but is that the sets in this movie really felt very, especially the bigger ones, felt very empty, and again, very green screen. I was continuously reminded that it felt like a very kind of empty universe. Like, we're sitting there with Thanos on his throne, and it's just him sitting on that little asteroid. I know they want to be consistent with the end of Avengers, but I don't know. I just felt like, I mean, you don't have any other bad guys around him or armies or you know. He just wasn't that menacing, and I think some of it has to do with there's a little bit of emptiness, I felt like, and a constant reminder. I don't want to say it's as bad as like the Star Wars prequels, but it was like a constant reminder that like this is like the entire movie is on green. It's either on green screen or on a set that looks like the spaceship.
Right.
I mean, thank God. I mean, again, I still like the movie, so this obviously didn't take away from that. Because the character, the writing, and the character interaction with the Guardians was carried the entire thing. But these were my biggest complaints.
Yeah. No, that's funny. I was expecting to come into this and being like, okay, you know, the story was kind of whatever, and Thanos was whatever, and you're gonna be like, you're an idiot. Like, come on, this is great. But yeah, it's interesting.
I'm right there with you. But you are an idiot.
I'm right there with you. But yes,
idiot,
you're dumb. Yeah, you know, and. Here's another thing to segue on that. So in terms of like the big large,
we should do the show on segues.
We should do a show on segues.
We're saying segue a lot. Anyway,
and we just spin around. That would be it'd just be full of injuries. Yes. What's your medical coverage like?
Anyway, sorry.
Okay, like talking about like the big sets, and this movie takes place like across the galaxy.
Yeah.
And in a lot of the you know, the articles and pieces on this movie leading up to it. A lot of people were throwing around the term space opera.
Yes.
And I hate that term. I hate it nowadays because
people want things to be space operas.
People want things to be things.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are not those things. I would not say this is a space opera whatsoever.
No.
This takes place in like across like two different planets or something, right? It's like, it's, there's virtually nothing that, it's not. And like,
if anything, it's like a, it's almost like a buddy,
it's a space musical.
Buddy film.
It's almost a space musical, okay, not a space opera.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's exactly. If anything, it's a documentary. I agree.
And it's,
space opera is one of those words that people that don't know
what it means
wants to use.
And what that does is it collectively dumbs down the meaning of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just start calling, in 10 years, you can start calling anything a space opera. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like
Lucy was a space opera.
It's like when you're talking and you use swear words all the time.
Yeah.
They lose their meaning. Right?
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden you get one of your friends doesn't swear very much and something happens and he's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
You're like, that shit, that means a lot.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a lot of shit. Yeah. That means a lot of, that shit is heavy.
It means some shit.
That's heavy shit
yeah.
right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of feel like that was space opera.
Okay.
And a lot of other terms, but I'll make a list.
Okay. Yeah. Please do.
Send me all your email addresses. I'll email you guys my list.
He'll do it too.
Jake's top 10.
It'd be nice to have him send it to someone else besides me. Paul, here's my list today.
Paul, did you read my email?
Here's my top 10 list of my lists.
Here's top 10 lists of Jake's top 10 yeah, lists. Yeah,
it's a pretty good list, actually. Not going to lie.
All right, enough hating on the movie, though.
Yeah, what did you like about this movie?
I mean...
Time's up. See you guys.
Yeah, Chris Pratt's about to plug in his microphone, so we got to go.
Oh, no. Someone trip him.
Someone trip him in his chair. The performances were just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I. Let's be honest. Groot stole the show.
Yes.
And Rocket Raccoon, I think, was second or tied for first.
I thought Rocket was supposed to steal the show, and Groot very clearly did.
Isn't it funny that a guy that doesn't talk steals the show?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. I'd say him or Rocket were in a close first and second somewhere.
Yeah.
I'd say Chris Pratt was a number three. He was great. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I liked
Drax as well. I thought Drax had some funny lines.
I thought
Dave Bautista did a good job.
I
thought I was maniacal laughing every time they were in an action scene.
That was funny. Funny. That
pretty
was
hilarious. Funny. I like that he's like...
He's literal. The literalness of him.
Oh yeah. I like the way he talks. I like that he's a walking thesaurus.
Do not call me a thesaurus.
Yeah. Yeah, everything will go right over his head. I will grab it. My reflexes are too fast.
Nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too fast.
I mean, everyone had good lines. And I liked Gamora, too. It doesn't hurt that she's Zoe Saldana, and she's extremely easy on the eyes.
She was my least favorite.
Oh, I thought she was... I was very happy every time she was on screen.
Well, you probably were just picturing Jennifer Love Hewitt the entire time.
I was. look at me like I'm a pervert. Yeah, like I'm jerking off in the theater. No, she's just very attractive.
There are children around. Paul.
Jesus Christ! What? I can't look at someone and be like, oh, they're very attractive without seeing her pull my pants down.
Put your Thanos wiener away.
I'm just jerking. I'm just standing on my chair. I'm in the front row. I'm facing the audience. I'm just beating off. This is the best movie ever. Yeah. Yes.
You're facing the audience.
No. Oh, God. No, no.
I'm just picturing you in front of like 200 people, and they're all just like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And you're all, Gamora.
Gamora's so hot. Tell me what she's doing right now. I can't see because I'm looking at you.
Imagine her face on Jennifer Love Hewitt's body.
Stop the movie. Stop the movie.
Pause it right here.
I'm going to spew. Yeah. So no, I wasn't doing anything. Jesus Christ.
Save this show under the name Jake Loses His Shit Laughing So Hard.
Yeah, I'm crying.
Oh, God.
I can't believe it's shame on you for picturing me doing all those things. Who's the weirdo now?
Look at it.
Oh, yeah. Man. No, she's attractive, so I really like Zoe Saldana.
Yeah, I can tell, Paul. Paul can't stand up for a while.
Oh,
man.
Sorry, Chris. Sorry, Chris Pratt. I know you work together.
So anyways.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, sure.
So that's how you... You can't even get back into it. That's how you'd rank them, huh?
I literally got tears. Yeah, going me down too. Yeah, funny. that's how I would rate them. I think she was my least favorite. One thing I was kind of hoping for was
he was completely racist against green women.
one thing I was hoping for was Drax was a really cool looking character. I didn't see him like wreck shop as much as I really wanted to see him wreck shop. He was kind of just fighting along the same lines as everybody else.
He kind of had the and I know you might get this reference. I probably will.
I'm really smart.
The Worf syndrome, where like
Star Trek.
Yeah. Okay. Where they always have the really really tough guy get beat up by that week's villain in order to show that the villain's really tough. But then if you have Worf get beat up every week.
Then it's like Worf just a fucking pussy.
Exactly. And there's actually a supercut on YouTube you can show of Worf getting his ass kicked. It's like 12 minutes long. They had him kind of run in and get beat up by Ronan. They had him run in and get like he beat up a couple of guys you're right. He could have been like more of like a like almost like Hulkish.
Right. For his name being Drax the Destroyer.
Yeah.
They put him in too many scenarios where like you said, he ran at Ronan and Ronan just kind of like threw him down or tried to do something, but whatever. Somebody shot a weapon at him. You know, like they didn't show the first. They almost needed an introductory scene for his fighting. You know,
I would have loved to see him just like destroy people in the prison.
Yeah, like in the prison, right? Yeah. And just like where it was kind of like all these guys are bad guys anyway, so he can kind of wreck shop. But yeah, I really wanted to see like, okay, I don't know this character, Drax the Destroyer. Yeah. What, you know? Marvel Universe, show me his skill set. Show me his strength relative to everybody else and, like, have him, like, whatever, pick up a car or, you know, I don't know. So, but, yeah, I thought he was underutilized a little bit.
Okay.
But made up for it with his dialogue and his delivery. And it was great, man.
I guess there's only so much you can fit into a film. But the best lines.
That's true.
There's only so much you can fit into 2 hours. But some of the best lines, I think, you know, were... We're not just lines, but scenes with Groot, like we said.
Oh, when he puts his arm through all those guys and bangs them all over the wall.
He turns around
and smiles.
And gives that big look on his face. That was the Hulk smash Loki moment
exactly.
of the film.
Exactly.
Everyone was like cheering in the theater I was in.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was that was pretty awesome. And I liked the I like him being planted at the end, and we're assuming everyone's seen the movie, by the way.
Yeah,
this spoilers. This. But I liked him being killed off and then planted at the end in a little dancing Groot.
Yeah,
I mean, the movie had a lot of charm, and you could tell that these characters, they got the right people to play all of them. I think Chris Pratt. I'm surprised how much I like Chris Pratt, because I'm not a big Parks and Rec guy.
It's a funny show. I just don't watch it.
Yeah, I just don't watch it either.
Cassie loves it.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people that say the same thing. It's like, oh, you got to watch this. And
you know, it's funny.
I probably love it, but
you know, it's funny. I saw a slightly-ish recent episode of Parks and Rec, and they were making Chris Pratt, and you could tell his shirts were all baggy and stuff because he lost all the weight for Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. And like, because he used to be kind of like a portly guy. Like,
yeah.
Not portly, but just kind of a heavier set guy.
Oh, so there's hope for us all.
Hey, Monday, bro.
Monday, bro.
I'm going to get so
shredded on Monday.
Like this? Shredded, bro. Shredded. Hey, you more shredded than Julian Salad.
I'm sorry, what?
Remember in Rocky 1 when you were all cut up and then in Rocky 2?
Well, I haven't working out a little
bit. Rocky 2, you were like shredded, right? Give me that fucking map.
Oh, Tropic Thunder. I need to watch you.
Yeah.
Again.
By the way, if you don't like Tropic Thunder, don't listen to this show.
Yeah. Go jack off in the theater.
Oh, anyways. Now's the time we'd like to thank our two special listeners. Hi, Mom.
Hi, other Mom. Hi, my Mom.
What were we talking about?
You know.
Oh, Chris Pratt
stuff. Yeah, so I was going to say, the movie had a lot of charm. The characters were all very likable. Any shortcomings we had with, like, maybe the scope of the movie or you know, maybe some of the shallowness of CG that's relied upon, maybe just too heavily. That's more of a commentary for all film, really. But all that was easily overcome by just the spot-on comedy and the excellent performances by the Guardians themselves. I think it was great casting. And I thought Rocket was fantastic.
Oh, he was awesome.
Looked great, sounded great.
It
nailed it.
Absolutely hilarious. when they were doing the prison escape, and he's like, and I got this guy's leg. He's like, you got that? I was just kidding. I didn't need that.
What did he look like hopping around?
and then later when he's like, and we need this guy's eye.
He's really important to me.
He's like, no, it's really important to me. Yeah. I mean, it was great. I think Bradley Cooper did a phenomenal job voicing that character. It was like a slight like Irish accent kind of
almost like New York Cockney.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
What you said. You talk now. I agree.
Okay, answer me this. Did you think the movie was almost too like meta? Like, did that ever kind of cross your mind? Like, it's like
I don't even. Like, I don't why think, I mean, it was ever the... quite meta?
Okay,
to be honest, because it was never like referring to more like itself, and it never was like referring to like Marvel.
I don't think. Okay, maybe I don't mean so in the sense that they were like referring to their it self was or Marvel or their own existence.
It was super quirky,
but like the quirkiness of it was almost. It, so much so that it was out of place for the context of what they were doing.
There's
right?
a lot of silliness in this movie.
Yeah.
You have to buy into a lot of, like, there was things in this movie where I remember thinking afterwards, like, man, like, if that happened in any other movie, I'd be like, I'd call bullshit.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, you gotta buy into this.
Like, even blasting the hammer at the end, or them crashing and surviving that crash, and or blasting the hammer and having the Infinity Stone pop out just perfectly so Chris Pratt can grab it. It just laws of physics don't apply apparently in this movie at all, just to make everything work perfectly.
Well, it was in slow motions.
I guess. I mean, how did Rocket fly in at the very end in his ship to know exactly when to? It's stuff like that. You just gotta forget.
Right.
Just gotta forget. And just say I'm on board because this is a fun, quirky action movie and it's here to be silly. It is. I think this is one of the better representations of a comic book on film, really. All too often, they're trying to be too gritty. They're trying to be way too, like, realistic. And here it was just like, this is just like flipping through the pages of a comic book. And, like, let's see what crazy situation can happen next. And I had a great time.
If we've learned one thing from this movie, it's that you can survive in outer space by holding your breath for at least 5 minutes.
Again, that bothered me too.
I know. I was like, when I saw it happening, I was like, oh, he's not gonna.
Your mask off. He would instantly freeze and then explode.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen.
No. Yeah.
Oh, I was like, don't do it. He's gonna no.
You can't.
Nope. You can't. Oh,
you can't take. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, he did it.
Again,
he did it.
Again, this is a movie with a talking raccoon and a walking tree. So you gotta leave something at the door.
It was a good time. It was everything I think everybody thought it would be, and I think better than everybody thought it would be.
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna guess most people, hence the 92% rating, probably aren't really nitpicking on the plot lines. In a little bit of weight.
If you are, then you're in the wrong theater.
Who is?
People that are nitpicky.
Well, I was seeing Lucy, so I was in the wrong
theater. Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Sorry.
How do you think, I know this is going long, but we'll do a shorter review on Planet of the Apes, because this is the big one.
This is the big one.
So how do you think this is going to, or will, or fits with the entire Marvel Universe thus far?
Good question. I think it's fitting very nicely. I think they're going to do their own movie again. They're going to do a Guardians 2.
Right.
I think Avengers obviously got Avengers 2. I think for Avengers 3, we'll have the team up. The full on.
That's like that's like 7 years out though, right?
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, we'll have the full on.
I'll probably be dead by then.
I hope to live that long. I can only hope. I hope. If I don't, please take my head in a fishbowl.
If I don't live that long, make sure that the GoDaddy payments keep going.
Keep going, man. Keep the website alive. 50 years from now, we'll live on through the radio. But I think it's got a lot of legs. Obviously, if the box office has anything to say about it, it definitely does. $94 million it made this weekend, which is
that's
crazy.
Huge.
That is big. What did you think of the after credit scene, because you told me not to have it spoiled for me?
Yeah, obviously there's always hype with after credit scenes, and I don't think anybody heard anything about after credit scenes. Like, there wasn't any like thing floating around the web that I saw, you know, spoiling it or hints. So I texted Paul. I was like, do not look at anything for the after credit scenes.
So I didn't.
So spoiler alert right now, if you have not seen the after credit scenes, or if you have not seen the movie, or if you have not, whatever.
It always blows my mind when we were sitting in a Marvel film and half the theater leaves.
I'm like, you guys idiots?
You've never been to a movie theater before?
You've never been to a movie where they play more movie after the movie?
I mean, granted, some crazy guy stood up in front of the theater and took his pants down, but it doesn't mean you should leave.
This is something, this is important.
It's not like he's going to do it again. What are the odds of that?
Yeah. Oh, here he goes.
Yeah, oh, there he goes. Yeah, so what do we see?
We saw, which we didn't talk about at all, Benicio del Toro as the collector. Which I just thought was whatever. Which always just brings me back to thinking, why do they ever get these big name actors? And I know it's to draw people to the movie, but to play these like bit.
They built him up like he was going to be a bigger thing.
Yeah,
too. And he turned out to be just like comic relief almost.
Yeah, like 5 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
And we saw him. He collects a bunch of, I don't even know him that well, collects items from all over the universe. And at the end of the movie, his place is destroyed because of earlier events in the movie. And he's sitting there eating like ice cream or something. And the dog comes over and licks his face. And it pans over to Howard the Duck. And he goes, why do you let him lick you like that? That's gross.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That was the scene. Yeah. Which I thought was pretty hilarious. Not a fan? Underwhelming for you?
I think
it's more, that is a inside joke, I feel like.
Well, that's what I was telling Cassie. I was like, probably like 5% of the audience gets that.
Yeah. Howard the Duck being, it was originally a comic about Howard the Duck, which was a duck who was an alien from another planet. Supposed to be just an out there wacky comic book character. And he got his own movie in the 80s. It was actually produced by Lucas. And it turned out to be one of the, it's still to this day seen as one of the biggest movie flops of all time. It cost, I think, around, I read this earlier, cost around like $65 to $70 million to make in like 1984.
That's a lot of 1984 money.
And it made back $16 million in the United States. So it's seen as a big flop, just a disaster. And it was a terrible movie. Don't get me wrong. I've seen it. It's terrible. And so now that Marvel owns Lucas and any sort of rights connected to Howard the Duck, they're able to have him in the film. And so they just put him in there, I think, as a joke. And it was like a perfect, like...
I think it was like a joke. I think it was a nod. I think it was...
Yeah.
I think a lot of it was a nod to nerds, really. You know, like...
I think it was just like the... It goes along perfectly with the quirkiness of the entire film.
Right.
It's like we have... You know, the collector obviously is an open window to have any sort of weird, crazy creature in his midst. And who better to have than Howard the Duck sipping champagne at the end of your film?
It just, I thought it was just a big letdown. I mean,
really?
I thought
it was a funny cap to the end of the movie. It wasn't any, but it didn't progress any storylines.
It didn't progress any storylines. And I think that's actually a crucial component of the cinematic Marvel universe is their ability to market and then like keep leading you, like keep stringing you along, right?
Yeah.
Like you see Thor and then you see this and you see Captain America and then you see this and it gets everybody like engaged and like energized about whatever, you know, like, I mean, I think they missed out on a big opportunity for like the internet to go into, you know, whirlwind speculation about, well, what did that mean when we saw the after credit scene and it was like, Thanos talking to this other guy. Who was the other guy? You know, and like, I thought they missed it. Maybe they don't have anything. Maybe it's a sign of like the Marvel well kind of not running dry, but maybe there's not a lot on the drawing board. Like,
well, apparently they have things panned out or written out until 2028 or something like that. So.
Well, right. I mean, they have it planned. Like, we will release this movie in this year, but maybe they didn't have anything in the works right now to like put any.
I just think you can only have like some brooding, sinister aspect at the end of your movie so many times before it starts losing its meaning. And I think in this one, they just wanted to go with the tone of the movie and they just wanted to have something silly. And it doesn't mean we're going to get a Howard the Duck movie.
I hope we do, bro. What if he pops up in the Avengers? He's
just like, I have a feeling he could pop up elsewhere. Depending upon his popularity here, they could have a little bit of a Howard the Duck revival in the form of little cameos. You know, if we're not getting a Hulk movie proper, we should not be getting a Howard the Duck movie.
Proper.
Yeah. But I thought it was silly and fun. And I didn't mind it as much as I thought I would because I'm in your boat. I like teasers and I like trailers and I like to see like, I like something to like think about when I leave the theater. Like I love seeing Thanos, you know, at the end of Avengers.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see Scarlet Witch and, Quicksilver at the end of Cap 2. I love stuff like that. It was cool to see the Collector at the end of Thor 2, even though he turned out to be a big buffoon.
I just think, you know, maybe it's like a downside of their own doing, but they've built you up to
expect that.
Not even a reveal, but just something to question or something to propel you into the next movie or the next phase of movies.
Yeah.
And it was just like a blop. Yeah. It was like, I didn't get anything. I don't know. Like, the expectation is that it will be something that will lead to something else. And this was just a standalone.
Yeah.
Like at the end of Avengers where they're like eating shawarma.
I mean, that was funny, but at least we got Thanos before that.
Oh, that's right. There was two, huh?
Yeah, there was two. And I thought Cap 2 did it perfectly, I think.
Yeah.
They had the little, they had Bucky, like, wandering around looking at himself in the museum. So you knew that kind of a little more focus on Bucky. And then later on, you had Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver at the end, the twins.
So anyways.
Anyway.
All right, what do you think overall?
I hate this movie. Don't go see it.
Sucks.
Go see Lucy twice. No, I would definitely. Anybody can enjoy it. If my mom likes it and my dad tolerates it, you'll like it.
I am Groot.
Yeah. So definitely go see it in theaters.
Yeah, I would agree. There's no way you can't see this in theaters.
well,
I mean,
unless you just stay home.
Unless you went to the movies and then as you were walking out, somebody ripped your eyeballs out.
Yes, then you wouldn't see it.
Then there's no way you would see it.
You have to rip your eyeballs out on your way in.
You'd have to rip them back in.
Yes. So we've established that. So all that aside,
all that aside, wear safety goggles to every movie you go to.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. No, you got to see this in theaters. It's the best.
It's the best.
I'd say it's one of the best Marvel movies.
Ooh, we didn't even talk about that. Ranking on the Marvel scale. Where would you put it? Number one, number two, number three?
In no particular order, I'd say this has to be up there. I'd say also Avengers has to be up there. And I'd probably say Iron Man 1 has to be up there.
Not Cap 2, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to think through all the movies as I'm saying.
I think their best so far has been this, Captain America 2, Iron Man, and Avengers.
Well, that's four movies.
So where do they fit? Where do they fit? It's hard.
Avengers is one of those ones when I'm thinking about it in my mind, I'm always like, it was kind of campy and blah, blah, blah. And then every day when I'm like home chilling, I'm like, oh, I'm going to put on the Avengers.
It's fun.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, let's just pick a top four and say those are all the top four.
Those are the top four. Easily. No, I would say this is
you
up there.
You say Cap 1 or Cap 2?
I'm sorry. I didn't say Cap 2. Cap 2 is pretty sweet. I saw it on an airplane the other day.
Good for you.
Yeah. I wasn't flying anywhere. I just went on an airplane.
I sat on an airplane.
You going to watch that?
Hey, is the airplane going anywhere?
Anyway. Awesome. So there you have it. Cinema Recon, surprise, surprise, likes Guardians of the Galaxy. Then you should go see it too. So why don't we do this? We'll take a break, and when we come back, we have apes to talk about.
We're going to talk about apes and bananas.
Yes, we will.
Stick around for more movie reviews from the guys who are always guarding the galaxy, Cinema Recon. Hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me.
Congratulations, you found the best radio on the internet.
I think this might be wrong.
I think the internets are wrong.
The internet
I promise.
Is a series of wrong connective tubes.
Keep listening for more Paul.
Don't talk about my big fat face. I have a big fat face for radio, that's what I have.
And more Jake.
Clowns are your friends.
Unless they turn into giant spider creatures.
Only on Cinema Recon.
Here we come, walking down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we're monkeying around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
And welcome back to the show. You're still listening to Cinema Recon, and we are having fun. This is
it's the fun.
It is. It feels good. It feels right, Jake. I feel like a Sunday dress.
Like a little boy.
It just feels great on me.
Like a little boy wearing a Sunday dress.
Yes, having these microphones in front of us and I'm going for lowbrow comedy.
It's just perfect.
It's a perfect Sunday.
You never go wrong with a dick joke.
No, you really
can't. That's what my dad always says.
Yeah, your dad is a wise man. So we're back, and we just got finished with our epic review of Guardians of the Galaxy.
You're welcome.
Nearly as long as half the film, but I think it deserves it.
But twice as good.
Exactly. And now we have another movie we'd like to talk about, because it's while it did come out a few weeks ago, we think it's still pertinent and one of the big tentpole releases of 2014. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was released July 11th, 2014, and CinemaRecon has seen it.
We saw it.
We saw it, and we'll talk about it. I'll go through the rundown. The rating is PG-13. You can actually still see it in theaters, too. It's still playing out there.
We'll let you.
Yeah, go for it. Running time of 2 hours and 10 minutes. So 9 minutes longer than Guardians of the Galaxy. And the thermometer is sitting right at a solid 92%. So again, here we are, hovering right in the 90s, right in the low 90s.
91%.
Is it 91 now?
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
So it's dipped, so it's probably horrible.
Oh, well. Throw this in the trash. There we go. Edit. Done. Save Word document. Studio that brought this to all of us and Jake's quippy dad, 20th Century Fox. The director, Matt Reeves, you may remember from the very, very good, actually, and it's hard to say this, American remake of Let the Right One In, Let Me In. He also did Cloverfield. The film stars.
Oh yeah, I thought Cloverfield was great.
It's fantastic.
No, that was amazing.
It's a really, 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 really good movie. If I have to be descriptive.
If I have to give my detailed opinion on it, it's great.
The film stars Andy Serkis, Jason Clarke, Gary Oldman, and Kerry Russell. And the synopsis I pulled again off of IMDb, so it's a crapshoot. In the wake of a disaster that changed the world,
an American
pilot shows up. In the wake of a disaster that changed the world, the growing and genetically evolving apes find themselves at a critical point with the human race.
Yours, I want to protect mine. It's our only chance for peace.
Are you aware?
No!
They are going to turn on you.
They're animals!
Caesar, you're all.
Who was that?
A good man like you.
Caesar, love humans more than apes.
If you threaten his family, he will retaliate.
Don't shoot!
Now listen to me peel this banana.
There you have the trailer for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
So, Jake, what did you think of
Dawn of
the Planet of the Apes?
There is something really interesting about the one of the first scenes in the movie. I think it's like the first scene in the movie.
The close-up of his eyes is the first scene in the movie when they're hunting.
Okay.
The film opens with the apes hunting. And
yes, hunting.
Yes.
Okay. So these apes are supposed to be like smart as humans, more or less, right?
They're getting there.
They're getting there.
They're evolving.
They're pretty much there. In my eyes, that's how I see it in the movie, is they're pretty smart.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty smart apes.
So it shows them in this very first scene or whatever, they're slowly, they have like a, what do you call it, a herd of monkeys? A gaggle of monkeys. What do you call it?
I don't know. A group.
A group?
A gathering.
A gang. It's a gang.
It's a gang of monkeys. Loitering.
So you see these monkeys and they're like, got spears and whatnots. And they're like slowly like walking. And you're like, oh, what's going on? And then it shows like, you know, the deer or something. Or I forget how it,
They're all sitting up in the trees, right? They're in the trees, and Caesar's starts with his eyes, it zooms out, he's got his hand up, and then he goes like this, and they all start swooping down, and they jump into this
herd of deer.
A gaggle of monkeys jumps into a herd of deer.
Hold on. Have you heard this? Stop me if you've heard this one. A gaggle of monkeys walks into a bar.
I've heard this one.
I'll stop you. I've heard this one. So they're slowly like creeping on this.
Yes.
But it was like a lot of deer. It was like a whole bunch of deer.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, they're going to be hunting them. I'm like, cool. Like, we're going to see how smart these monkeys have gotten, right? Yeah. And then, like, Caesar, like, puts his hand down, basically saying, like, attack.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why you would attack them. You're obviously smart and you have weapons. Why don't you just hunt the deer? Or just, like, throw your spear from a distance, right? No. So Caesar, like, throws his hand down, and all the monkeys, like, start running and, like, going crazy. And the deer are all...
they start throwing their shit.
The deer start throwing bananas. So the deer start running away from them. But then, because the monkeys are so smart, this other group of monkeys cuts off the deer in front of them.
Yeah.
But what happens? The deer just fucking trample the monkeys.
Oh, yeah, they run over the monkeys.
I'm like, this is a horrible plan.
You guys did not think this through.
You guys are smarter than this.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is kind of a bad example about showing how smart these monkeys are. Like, we'll get one group of monkeys to make these deer with giant sharp horns run really fast. And then these other group of monkeys will make them jump down right in front of them.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like, why don't you just set a trap? Why don't you just put a net there or something?
If you're so smart, why don't you build an Apache helicopter and shoot all the deer?
If you're so smart, we'll just use a tranquilizer gun.
Yeah. Pfft. Smart monkeys, my ass.
I thought from the get-go, I was like, that's a stupid plan. Why would you do that? But anyways.
Okay, fair enough. So the monkeys are dumb. right off the bat, it was Jacob's established. That's our review. Yeah, there you go. So I'm guessing, so this film didn't really win you off the bat.
It won my bat.
Yeah.
Movie was good. The CGI was pretty freaking amazing. The motion capture was pretty damn good.
I was surprised at how much of it there was.
I was surprised at how monkey heavy this movie
was. It was basically watching a cartoon.
It was, for all intents and purposes. I mean, there were the human to monkey ratio was like 9 to 1.
Yeah, I was just going to say, apes are like 90% of the movie.
I mean, it's like 9 to 1. But
it's closer to 90%,
it's
though.
It's probably 9 to 1. Okay, fine. 10 to 2.
Okay, fine. All right, 18 20ths.
Wait, in the metric system, that'd be. Mm-hmm. I saw this a while ago, so it's going to be a little hard to bring it back. But I remember the humans, I felt like they were dumb. Like, I don't know. Like, I always just got the sense that, like, you guys,
It's hard to have
two. You're just kind of lackluster going about your daily routines when there's an army of fucking monkeys that have taken over the world, basically. And you're just like, whatever. It's like,
well, they don't know that the monkeys have taken over the world yet. I keep calling them monkeys. They're apes. They don't know that the apes have taken over the world yet. It's not until we are introduced, the apes come strolling up on horseback in the film, that they realize, oh, there's a big group of apes living up here.
Yeah, they knew that.
They didn't know that they were like that close, though.
I thought they did.
Right? Well, they did. They blame the apes for the outbreak, right, at some point.
Right.
But then they're all surprised to find out that there's a group of them living above San Francisco.
I don't think they were. I thought that was pretty much a known, right?
No, because they didn't realize that they were up there. When they were confronted by them, it was weird. It was weird. I don't think they all knew that there was a group of super intelligent apes, because they're all shocked when they started talking, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think that was just a product of they didn't know, you know, they thought their intelligence was at a certain level. And the one guy comes back and was like, no, he was talking. He said no, or he said no.
No, he beat me like 3 times and backgammon. I could not beat him. He's such a smart ape.
We played Twister.
It was crazy.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. But I just remember kind of feeling like the humans were stupid. Like, they kept doing dumb shit. And I was just like, what?
It's hard when you have these two conflicting sides and you're trying to represent both in the film. Because we're not necessarily rooting against the people. You know, the humans. We're not. I mean, the apes are kind of our heroes for the film's purposes. We're not necessarily like, yeah, damn humanity, kill them all, because there's a lot of innocent people there. And it's hard when you're starting to kind of straddle both lines to make, when you're dedicating most of the movie to the apes, it's hard to make the humans seem, I think, I don't know, believable, correct. I don't know. I can see what you're saying, though. They came off as a little like the masses. Like, they almost came off as the herd of animals.
Well, they came off slightly like ignorant. I just kind of like oblivious to the weight of the situation or like what's really going on. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, I was surprised just how much heavy CGI and like how much it focused on the story of the apes and Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just like, I was not expecting
that. No, neither did I.
Like, I was like, holy shit.
Because I didn't understand, like, oh, how are they going to have this whole movie without James Franco now? And it's like, well, it's all about the apes. And you're right. Like, yeah. I thought that Jason Clarke did as good as a job as he could.
Yeah, he was great.
He was very good. Again, he didn't have a lot of screen time. I liked him being him and his companions being the sympathetic humans. I liked scenes like that. I liked it when the apes were working with the people. But first of all, I love the film. I had a great time. And
why don't you marry it?
I probably would if I could. If Zoe Saldana was in this movie, it would be my perfect film. I really liked the dynamic with Koba and Caesar.
See, that was great.
I thought that was perfect. And I thought making him your villain, whereas, you know, he's actually not quite a villain throughout most of the film. It wasn't until he gets like, you know, power hungry that it turns that way. But making him like, you know, still like genuinely fearful for Caesar's life throughout most of the film, I thought was like, I don't know, I found myself really caring about these CGI apes.
These damn dirty apes.
Yeah, I really did. I was like, I was impressed because I was sitting there and I was telling myself, like, I was like, man, like, the movie must be doing something right if I'm really like emotionally involved in what I'm watching.
You were crying like a little bitch.
I was on the ground in the theater sobbing.
Facing the theater.
Exactly.
What was with you in facing the theater?
I was on the ground. My head was in sticky raisinettes.
Oh, this is gross.
Yeah, but I was sad.
I'm allergic to raisins.
I thought it was great. I thought it was paced very well. I was never bored. For a 2-hour and 10-minute movie, I felt like it flew by. There was a couple, being a resident of San Francisco.
Yes.
There's a couple of location issues.
Oh, yeah?
Where James Franco's house is.
Did they blow up
is.
Your house?
Well, the getting from one place to another in San Francisco.
Traffic would be ridiculous. I just see all these apes sitting in cars, honking their horns.
Yeah.
Oh, come on!
Where his house was located in respect to where the tower was, in respect to where the colony was, just didn't make any sense. They treated San Francisco as if it was like a city block. Like, that's how fast they can get to one place to another.
How far apart were all these items?
It was like a completely other side of the city. Like, his house is in Pack Heights, and at least that's where it showed. And that's another thing too. No house in San Francisco looks like that. No house looks like that in San Francisco.
Which one? James Franco's house.
Like,
it's in a nice little neighborhood. There's no neighborhoods in San Francisco.
And it showed it in this nice little street, like and I could tell exactly where it is. It's right next to where I live. It's up in Pack Heights, up on the hill. And it looks like that house would have been a quarter of the size, easily. There's no such thing as a house like that.
You heard it here, guys. James Franco's a liar.
So, other than that, those very minor stupid complaints, I loved it. I had a really good time throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good too. I did think for some reason I felt like the humans were kind of dumb sometimes.
They were very dumb.
Just took it very lightly, I guess.
They were taking it lightly.
Yeah.
I didn't think Gary Oldman was necessary. I liked how Gary Oldman.
I was just gonna say Gary Oldman. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked how he wasn't a we're evil bad. We're terrible evil humans, and he was.
Right.
He was pretty compassionate.
He was
understanding.
They just both had different views.
Yeah.
Right? What I did find slightly odd was Jason Clark's character, his name's Malcolm, or no, Gary Oldman and some other sidekick they line the whole tower with like C4.
Yeah.
And they're like, all the apes are in the tower. We're going to blow up the tower and kill them all. Blah, blah, blah. And Jason Clark's like, I can't let you do that. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever happens. Mm-hmm. And then like Gary Oldman like detonates the C4 thing or somehow.
Yeah, he kills himself.
Yeah, somehow. Does he detonate it? I don't remember.
He does. He blows it up. He's like, what are you doing? And he's like, saving the human race.
Right. And he detonates it when they've made very clear that they have like lined the entire tower with C4. And like all Jason Clark has to do to get free of it is just like jump out of the way. Jump out like from a standstill, just like leaps out of the way. And all of a sudden the next scene, he's just like wiping his brow like, was close.
He jumps into a bathtub with Danny Glover. He's thank God you were here.
And then a refrigerator with Harrison Ford. Oh, put that bathtub in this refrigerator.
They all come rolling out of household appliances. It's a good thing these were here.
Gilbert Gottfried's in a microwave.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, I found that. I just saw that in particular. I was like, he had that entire thing lined with C4. And Jason Clark just was like, I'm just going to leap out of the way. Yeah.
Well, to the movie's credit, they clearly didn't do a very good job.
Well, the tower didn't fall down.
Yeah. So maybe they were halfway done. I don't know. Maybe it was only half the amount of C4.
Maybe.
Which would still kill anybody in the room.
Yeah, which would still. Yeah, regardless of if the tower falls down or not, it still should have killed everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you. I think the dynamic between Koba and Caesar.
Yeah.
And
it was good. It was really
Caesar's
good.
Caesar's wife and son and all that and everything. It was pretty cool.
I liked the route they're taking. Like, as a fan of the original film,
Did you know there's like 5 original Planet of the Apes movies?
Yeah,
it's nuts.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot. They rolled them out. There's like 5. Well, it's more like 9 to 1. No, they rolled out a lot of them after the first one was so mega popular.
Yeah.
I like that we are capable of doing CGI in such a way that we can have like real looking apes rather than just like guys walking around ape masks.
they should have thrown one guy.
Tucker's just, mad about the
Tucker
ape masks.
Tucker does not like the ape masks.
He's like, I'm sorry, what? Like, we can't have ape masks. I thought that, where was I going with this? Tucker, you're so funny. You interrupted me terribly.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. You got me thinking about her. We've established that I have many crushes in Hollywood, this show. I like the way that they went, the route they took of them talking. Like the style of speech, rather than just all walking around having perfect English.
Cheerio, good day.
Like they did in the original film.
Yeah.
Here, it's like, it's very labored, kind of like, you can tell it's like.
Broken English, basically.
Broken English. It's like, they're not meant to be speaking, you know, but they're able to because of evolution.
It was very forced.
Yeah.
It was like, we need.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was cool.
We should do an entire show like that.
It'd be the same level of brain function, whatever that means.
And I liked how they mostly communicate with each other through sign, which I thought was cool too.
I thought that was actually really cool. At first I was like, okay, well, actually it bothered me that they switched from sign to speaking.
Yeah. I got the idea.
I was like, well, why don't you just speak then?
I think the sign. I think I got the idea.
I think the sign is our native language.
Yeah, I thought the sign started first, and you're able to explain that to maybe like not as smart apes or as they're evolving, and
dummy apes,
the janitor apes, and then as the movie went on, I think we're supposed to get the idea that they're still evolving, like they're still changing. Yeah.
I took it more of an impression of. Like say a Mexican family, right? They might speak Spanish in the household.
Okay.
No, not in like a way. No, like really, right?
I'm waiting for a joke here.
No, there's not a joke. No.
Okay, I believe.
Right, that's their first language, right? Okay. They might speak Spanish in the household for the apes. That would be sign because that was what they learned from Caesar and what Caesar learned.
The sign helps in hunting. And
right, like and then in like quote unquote public or whatever, like they would speak their second language, you know, which would be like
German.
Find the apes.
Yeah.
Even though that was English
with
a German accent.
Yeah. So that's their second language, English with a weird accent.
What if all of a sudden they just had an accent? That'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I really liked the way this has been a surprise franchise for me.
Boo.
Nobody, yikes. Nobody expected this movie to be good.
Nobody expected the first one to be good.
Which is funny. You go back. This is the very first.
You go back.
You go back.
You go back.
Go to this your is the very first review we you can find on Cinema Recon. The very earliest review.
What?
Is Rise of the Planet of the Apes. The reason you won't find The Fighter is because I deleted it.
On Man, accident. we had a terrific review of the movie The Fighter.
Yeah.
And Paul deleted it.
I deleted it. You know, we're not all perfect. Not all of us.
At least one of us isn't.
Yeah. Well, this is the early days of Cinema Recon, and we were still...
Well, we were recording everything analog, so it was just all on big reels of tape.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was actually drawing it. Does that make sense?
You were just taking. We had two court ordered or court. What are they called? Stenographers.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. There you go. I recorded over that on accident, but what survived was the second half of that show, which you can find on CinemaRecon.com, and we did Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and I think we were all very surprised. That it was good.
Yeah. And to have a follow-up just as good.
And have a sequel. What's better? What did you like better? The sequel or the original?
I'm going to say I like the original better, to be honest with you. I thought the original was just a tighter story.
Really?
It made sense. A little more emotional. And I don't know if that's...
You like James Franco, huh?
I love James Franco.
Oh, there's your first problem.
I mean, James to me is like your Jennifer. You know what I mean?
We need to get James and Jennifer on the show.
We should.
That'd be a great.
We have plenty of chairs. I mean, yeah. They keep saying like
we have plenty of chairs.
They keep saying you don't have
four.
You don't have the space. Like we have chairs. We have multiple chairs.
I like how I like how the biggest concern with having celebrities on the show is whether or not we have enough chairs.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a spacious issue. What do you expect? It's California. You know, we don't got a sprawling acres of studio.
But everything's four times as expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought for the original movie, or the original for this series, nobody expected it to be so good. I don't know if it was more emotional because there was a more human element to it.
Maybe.
Or just because it was done better or what, but I'd say I like the first one, but the second one is really good. And I think with any movie, just to have a sequel on par with the original.
Yeah.
That's
saying a lot.
Is a knockout of the park.
Yeah, it's saying a lot. I really like this one. Nah! I don't know. I don't know. It's close. I got in this conversation. I saw this with Dan the Man, and
did he run over your foot?
He did not. Dan's my neighbor who I've gotten to be good friends with over the years. And one time we went and saw a movie together. I think it was Ghost Rider.
Not only did
Jake have to watch Ghost Rider, but he also had his foot run over by Dan when he was trying to get into his car.
He didn't run it over. He ran it over slowly, and then I was like, "Ah, my foot!" And then he stopped his car.
He's like,
and it was right on top of my foot, and I was like, "Move your car!" Yeah. He's like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" Yeah. I was like, "Your fucking car is on my foot!"
And ever since that freak accident, Jake's had superpowers. And yeah, so what a shitty day for you, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it was all right.
I mean, what would you like better, Ghost Rider or the foot? The foot incident.
Let's put it this way: I would prefer to have my foot run over any day of the week than watch Ghost Rider. So interestingly enough, mm-hmm. while we were chit-chatting, I was behind the scenes multitasking.
How do you do that?
It's
a superhero.
I told you it's my superpower.
Yeah.
So Dawn of the Planet of the Apes
mm-hmm.
is
that's the one
91% on Rotten Tomatoes right
yes.
now. Yes. Rise of the Planet of the Apes is 82% on
Rotten
Tomatoes. Which one would you say is better? Which one would you
think? Oh, obviously it's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Well, obviously,
no. I was leaning towards Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I liked
the new one.
Yeah, it's a very different movie. They're very different films, which I like. I like sequels doing something different, mixing it up, and taking a whole new direction. And I liked the focus on the apes more so than I thought I would. And so I might edge out Dawn slightly.
Interesting. Okay.
Slightly. So. So, needless to say, yes, I would highly, highly recommend this. The next one's got to be what? The War of the Planet of the Apes, yeah?
So, we got Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and the next one should probably be...
It's got to be War.
Sandwiches of the Planet of the Apes.
I don't know what else to say about that. Yeah. Sandwiches of the Planet of the Apes coming to
riveting
in 2017.
Riveting.
Yeah.
Or Battle.
Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
Right, because wasn't that a title for one of the originals?
It was, actually. Battle for the Planet of the Apes, I think.
I think that would be a
good
one.
There was Beneath the Planet of the Apes. There was Battle of the Planet of the Apes. There was, yeah, there was Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I can't look it up that fast.
Planet of the Apes was one of the biggest, the first big twists. Like the first big, like, oh my God, moments in cinema.
What's the twist?
That it's Earth.
What?
Oh, he's joking. He gets me every now and then. So, and without having being able to do a big twist like that in these films, everyone knows it's Earth. So, they do a damn good job. Well,
everyone now does.
Oh, sorry, everyone. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert for Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know much else to add to this.
I'd say see it.
Well, yeah. I mean, is there anything else you want to add or just do our recommendations?
No, yeah. I would say, you know, this movie's been out for several weeks now. So see it in theaters if you can. If you can't, definitely rent it. It's great. And I think just, again, to have a sequel as good as an original, if not better in some people's eyes, is a plus. So, shit, watch these two back to back. That'd be a pretty cool adventure, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, watch them both at the same time. Get two TVs and put them on. And then put Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon album on, and I hear it's amazing.
I agree with all of that. Do all of that twice. Yeah, definitely go see this movie. It was awesome. It might better than Guardians.
No,
not better than Guardians.
No way.
So
what do you think? No way. Really?
It's close. It's very close. I don't know an enjoyment.
No way.
Enjoyment level. I had probably more fun in Guardians.
I imagine you was like doing cartwheels. Yay!
Well, I already told you what I was doing. So I had a lot of fun. But as a movie, I think this might be a better film. Does that make sense?
Dawn. Planet of the Apes?
Mm-hmm.
Then Guardians?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not saying which one I like better. Well, I am saying. Just I like Guardians a little better. But
well, I'm confused.
But I'm saying, I had more fun in Guardians.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's like if we're talking about just a film, like a better, well-made film, I might have to go the gotcha. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes route.
I'm gonna say Guardians is better overall.
Okay. Yeah. So that's and I wouldn't. I don't think you're crazy.
I don't. Okay.
We've reviewed. So there you have it. Cinema Recon likes both movies we reviewed today. We liked Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and we especially liked Guardians of the Galaxy. What Anything better than these movies this year so far?
So far?
Yeah. Have we seen anything that we like better than... Because I think Guardians might be the movie to see of 2014 up to this point. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I would say until Dawn of the Planet of the Apes came out, that was the movie, right? And then Guardians, so...
Yeah.
Then that was the movie.
I think it's safe to say this might be up there. Best movie of the year. So far.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Wait. Which one?
Wait! Guardians.
Yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. All in all, there you go. And the numbers definitely show that. I mean, they made tons and tons of money. Interestingly enough, both films have green-lighted their sequels. So already we're going to get a Guardians 2. We're going to get a Planet of the Apes 2.
Oh, yeah. Guardians was green-lit before it even came out, I think.
Yeah. They were ready to go.
Yeah.
So there you go. So, yeah, buddy, that's all I had for us.
That'll do it, man.
That's it. So another great show. Thanks again for everyone for continuing to support us and listen to us. And like I said, keep writing in very concisely to
keep it brief. God.
Seriously. No, write whatever you want. Send me pictures. Send me lots of pictures of you doing whatever you want at cinemarecon@gmail.com. And visit us and listen to all these shows at cinemarecon.com.
And I would add that we do know we're not stupid. Duh. We do know that Comic-Con just passed.
No!
So because we were doing two movies, we didn't want to stretch out the show and have it full of too much awesomeness for you because we know there's an awesomeness. You have a cap for how much awesomeness you have.
Yeah, an awesomeness cap.
So next show, we should recap some of the good Comic-Con news and... all the other stuff out there. So.
All things, if the stars align, Jake and I will have seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles by next show, and we'll be able to do some super duper awesome comic stuff.
And with our bow staffs and samurai swords.
Yes, just like in Star Wars.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Take us out, buddy.
All right. I don't know what else to say except for check back next week for the show of the guys who are always facing the theater, Cinema Recon.
Stop the movie! Stop the movie!
Pause it! Pause it right here!